to dig into the Word this morning. I am turning in my Bible to Philippians chapter 4 is what we're going to be studying out of this week, and God willing, next week, Philippians chapter 4. And again, such great truths that we get to sing each Sunday, and I hope that you are encouraged from our time. Well, as I was preparing for diving into Philippians 4, here we are, we're in this little mini-series of this issue of anxiety, worry, and how do we deal with that worry in our lives, the anxious hearts, right? And as I'm studying, as a couple of things I was thinking about was really trying to be protected. And what came to my mind was a story I'd read a little while ago that sounds like science fiction. I mean, it sounds just a little bit futuristic. And, you know, what if somebody were to build a 8-story tall building, a kind of a bubble that has connecting rooms, that has each of those areas has like a different region, like a rainforest or an ocean or a desert and all those different things, and maybe a living spaces. And if in that bubble, if you will, that exists, if that were to be in the desert where they're not going to experience any of the outside elements. So maybe a place that would be able to house, say, 8 people to be completely self-contained inside of that building. Well, that is a building that took place. It's not science fiction. In fact, maybe you've heard of it, the Biosphere 2. It actually kicked in and was a 2-year project in the Sonoran Desert. It's just in Oracle, Arizona, just down the road. And it was kicked off in 1991. I mean, it was like a third of you weren't even born yet. And 1991, I mean, I thought it was like a science fiction thing, but it actually is this testing ground to be able to, maybe it'd even be a place that where they can take this same concept and go to the planet of Mars, right? And put this whole place, and it's a safe place where let the sun beat down on it. Not a big deal. You're still safe inside. Or let the winds blow in the sand. I mean, I don't know if you've ever experienced a haboob, and that is an actual word, but it's a massive wall of dirt and sand that comes up in Arizona, and you'll just see it coming across. And if you've ever experienced that, if you're trying to drive, you have to pull off because it's going to become just, you won't be able to see it all. If you're inside the Biosphere 2, you're safe. There's, I mean, all the outside, everything is all controlled on the inside. So it produces its own oxygen, and you plant, and all the plants grow. And how great would that be, right? I mean, you're maybe starting to think, is that still going today? How do I get in on that? I mean, 8 people is all that there is in a 3-acre massive terrarium, basically, right? And that sounds. Just, I'm a little bit envious to be able to be protected from all of the bad elements and all of the problems outside so I can stay inside and not have all those problems. If you're wondering how that went, by the way, it was a epic failure. It failed radically. It was a massive failure. And the biggest problem was the people. a true story. I can see that. All kinds of problems. They had all kinds of bugs that came up, and they couldn't get rid of all of the problems. It's a good reminder for us, you know, that we're not going to be, there's no safe bubble for us. We try to put a whole lot of protections around our lives so that we are protected from all of the outside elements. I don't want any of those things bothering me. So we can, I mean, there's no headphones that you can put on long enough to eliminate those problems, or no screens that you could hide behind, or controllers that you can hide behind long enough to be able to eliminate all of the outside pressures. And issues with people and issues in our lives and anxiety. We have to deal with them. We all have to face the big world and have to go outside of our nice, safe place here this morning and go out into the real world. Are we ready for that? How do we do that? How do we deal with all the anxiety? And that's what we're studying in our study through Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Why don't I read that for us? You remember that this letter that was written to the church in Philippi, so it is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. And when he writes this letter, remember he's writing from prison. His life is likely to be taken in the very near future. Things aren't going well for Paul. You would never know that by reading the letter of Philippians. As you read through the whole letter of Philippians, intended to be read, I know there's four chapters, intended to be read from the beginning to the end. So if you were to sit down this afternoon, you know, during halftime of one of the games, you can read through all of Philippians probably. There's not one word of complaint or griping in it. It's remarkable, considering where he's writing from. So this is what he says to the church in Philippi and what he says to us. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And one more verse. "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Let's pray and ask God to guide us through his word. Father, this morning as we come, we have sung songs to draw our attention to you. We've been reminded through that of the fact that we need you. We've been reminded that you are God and sovereign over all. But Lord, those are just words if your spirit is not at work. And even as we read the words off this page, they're just words unless your spirit is interacting and moving and dividing the places in our heart that need to hear what you are saying. So God, I pray that you will teach us, teach me, guide us. Without you, God, what do we have? So we turn to you and may your spirit move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Paul is addressing a heart issue. A heart issue that's going to deal with our worry-laden hearts, right? I have heard numerous times over the last couple of weeks of, man, I need this series. I need to be addressing the issue of anxiousness in my heart. And what God offers to you this morning is his peace. God offers his peace to you. And when he offers his peace, God's peace to you, it's not a one-off deal, but it's something that it's intended for you to be able to keep on taking. It's an ongoing gift that he provides for you. That frenzied life that you're in and that constant state of worry that you're in, that's not his intent. That's not what he was intending when he said, "I have come to give you life and life to the full." He came so that we would be trusting, that we would be able to rest in him. And so we're going to be dealing with anxiety, but hey, we have his peace available. So how do we get that? Well, that's what Paul addresses in Philippians chapter 4. In fact, look at verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's what we want, right? maybe hopefully you read ahead a little bit. So next week, God willing, we'll unpack verse 8 and hugely applicational into, well, how do we keep doing this daily? But verse 7 here is the results of what we want, the peace of God. I want the peace of God. I mean, don't you? Don't you want the peace of God? I want that. We try to get peace a whole lot of different ways, but I want the peace of God because it surpasses understanding. It's going to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I could use that. And so dealing with this whole issue of anxiety, remember what we talked about last week? Some of you have postgraduate degrees from the University of Anxiety. Remember? I mean, some of you have that. You're like, I've got that. I've got the medals to show. You're in a constant state, a constant place of worry. Some of you live in this frenetic place and a place that you're just constantly anxious. And so if you've been around here, you know we don't beat around the bush. Like, I'll be very open, honest with you. We're going to unpack what does God say about these things. How does this apply to our lives? If you're in a constant place of worriness, I'm going to encourage you, and I've been praying for you this week, that you will do some deep analysis. You'll do some allow some heart surgery to take place. Because that's not what God has intended for you. And I know some of you are like, it's just what I do. I just worry about everything. I'm constantly anxious. I'm a worrywart. That's just who I am. Then my challenge to you as we go to unpack God's word this morning is that you'd be asking the Lord, why, God? Why am I in this constant place of worry? What is it that constantly is driving me in this? Because the truth is, it's not enough just to listen to me. It's not enough just to read this and go, okay, we're good now. I've read it, good. Not good yet. There may be some real practical steps that you're going to need to take. So just be obvious, right? Speak the obvious. If you're in a constant place of just anxiousness and your life is just going crazy constantly and you have, I'm just thinking out loud here, so if I offend you, it's not my intent. Let's say you have 10 dogs and you just can't keep up with life. Maybe you need to not have 10 dogs. Maybe if you're just like in this world of debt is crushing down on you. You don't want to leave here and head down to downtown Summerlin. That's not the place where you're going to go, right? To deal with your debt. You're going to have to deal with some heart stuff and deal with the debt in your life. If you're in just this crazy schedule, you're not intended to do everything and to have everything. That's not God's intent. You're going to have to say no to certain things. So, speaking the obvious, right? I mean, we can't just look at God's word and go, I'm going to apply that. I want the peace of God, and I'm not going to do anything about that. God's word is intended to be applied. We're intended to apply God's word. So what does he say? How do I work that? And it means it's going to take some change. So if you're in a constant state of worry, you're going to want to address that in your heart between you and God. You may even want help to do that. And if you're married and you're in a constant state of worry, it's put pressure in your marriage, I promise you. Address it. Let's not just ignore it. Boy, I feel like I just went deep all of a sudden. Look at verse 7. These are the results that we want. Well, verse 6, right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice what it says here, right? Again, just state the obvious. Look, the peace of God will, you can underline that word, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a promise of his. Notice what it says. It will guard your hearts. And we want that. So how does it come? Well, verse 6 tells us, right? Whenever we're wanting to interpret Scripture, one of the best ways to interpret Scripture is with Scripture. Read before, read after, read the context of it, use the whole of Scripture. Well, verse 6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, how? By prayer. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Remember what we talked about last week? Prayer, supplication, requests are basically three ways that Paul's saying, hey, you need to pray. It's a command, right? So it's this command to pray. Don't be anxious about everything, but pray. But again, just don't we just tend to tack prayer on as an afterthought sometimes? Or we give token prayers? Oh, Lord, I pray you be with my day. Amen. It's not always heartfelt. But if you want to worry less, pray more. If you want to worry less, then pray more. That's what he's addressing. And here we have the results in verse 7. It's easier said than done. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That is easier said than done. Right? I mean, when the storms come, when the storms are coming up on you, it is a whole lot easier to say it than to experience it and to walk in this. If you took a boat ride, a small boat, and you're out at sea, and a squall starts coming up, this giant storm, and you're starting to take on water, the winds are going, the waves are going, and you are just going bouncing all over the place, it is worrisome. It is a place you're going to be frantic for help. You're going to be throwing out and hoping that the Coast Guard is going to come and save you in that moment. And, well, in fact, that is where the disciples found themselves. I'm going to turn in my Bible to Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. We're going to put it up here on the screens behind me. But Matthew chapter 8. A little bit to the left of Philippians, Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 through 27, the disciples find themselves in an incredibly great storm. It is a terrible storm that they find themselves in. Here's what it says, and when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea. So the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him and sang, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? For another account of this, you can keep your finger here. We'll come back here to Matthew in just a second here. But in Mark chapter 4, the same story is given by Mark. And here's what it says, Mark 4:35. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with him in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. And verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Back here in Matthew chapter 8, I mean, there's a great storm. So different translations translated great. This great storm, verse 24, on the sea, as a violent storm, fierce, furious, a tempest. I mean, this is a massive storm. Don't get in your mind a massive storm that comes up on the disciples in the middle of the sea. It's a big storm. So much so that verse 24 says that the boat was being swamped by the waves. Swamped, it is swept over, breaking in. They're being covered by waves. They're crashing in. They make what happens on the deadliest catch look like child's play in a tub in comparison to what's going on in Sea of Galilee in this moment. There is complete fear. So, like, how big of a storm is going on? Think about it. There is complete fear going on. So much so that the fishermen, like not first time out at the sea, the fishermen think they're going to die. Jesus, what are you doing? We're going to die here. They're going to drown. They're sure they're going down. And where's Jesus in all this? I mean, let's just, again, state the obvious. Where's Jesus? Well, Jesus, obviously, there, sleeping, really sleeping? Jesus? What gives? Jesus is sleeping in the middle of the storm. One, I'm wondering, Jesus, how did you sleep through that? Does that cross your mind? Unless you're like a young mother who has her husband who is able to sleep through everything curiously through the middle of the night when the baby's crying, they don't hear anything and they're just sleeping peacefully. Maybe you can understand this. But the rest of us are like, how is Jesus sleeping in the middle of a storm like this? And then I wondered, do you feel that way sometimes? I mean, do you feel like Jesus is just sleeping? I mean, I know that the Lord is at hand, sleeping at hand. Like, where is he? And why doesn't God show up? And doesn't the enemy of your soul want to draw your attention to that? To the fact that, man, where is Jesus in all this? Because I tell you, Satan and his forces are absolutely relentless. The enemy of your soul is relentless, meaning it just keeps coming and keeps coming, and he keeps gnawing and just keeps pounding away. That constant thump, thump, thump of your fear of the heart, of your worry, of your fret, that leads to hopelessness. And where's Jesus in all that? You just sometimes feel like Jesus is sleeping in the middle of it. And here we are in the middle of a storm and Jesus is sleeping. And so when you feel like your boat is about ready to capsize, you've taken on so much water, you're about ready to drown, maybe you feel like your worry is also going to be drowning you out. Seems like a natural time to go and wake up Jesus, doesn't it? I mean, maybe you call out to him the same way. Save us, Lord. We're perishing. I am drowning here. God, are you listening? Jesus, where are you? Aren't you going to save me? And then it's when Jesus really asks a heart-searching question. Don't miss this. He asks the right questions, doesn't he? Verse 26, and he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Why are you so afraid? Where's your faith? Why are you so timid? Paul gets to the chase and he says, "The Lord is at hand," in Philippians 4:5. The Lord is at hand. Therefore, don't be anxious about anything, but pray. And isn't our prayer, isn't that a sense of calling upon the Lord? Isn't that a sense of getting his attention, of calling upon him, of talking with him? Back here in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the tests, in the midst of when those things are crashing down on you and there is health scares, or that there is fears of job reductions, or in the midst of a government shutdown, the peace of God is what will watch over you. It will guard you. Isaiah 26:3, you can write that down if you're taking notes, which I encourage. Isaiah 26:3, it says this, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." It says here in Philippians 4:7 that the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It will guard. That guard is a metaphor of a picture of the Roman guards, a garrison, a whole fleet of Roman guards who have put their protection all around you so that you are protected. And the peace of God is what is promised to protect you, to surround and protect you. Guards your whole being. That's the idea here when Paul says, well, guard your hearts and your minds, your whole being in Christ Jesus. It's a powerful peace. Listen to what Jesus said. In John 14:27, Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid." A couple of chapters later in John 16:33, he said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, grab hold, I have overcome the world." That's what we were singing about, that God's in control. He's overcome the world. This is the peace that Jesus gives. This is the same peace that Jesus lived out, right? When he stood before, when he was falsely accused, he lived out peace. When he had to give an account before Pilate, he lived out peace. When he hung on the cross, he experienced peace. That was his peace. And that peace is the same peace he gives to you, it's yours for the taking. So I hope you get that this morning. God's peace is for yours for the taking. It's available for you. It really is. It's not just some words on a page or some nice thoughts. He says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So let me be very clear. True peace will not come by positive thinking. True peace isn't going to come by the absence of conflict. Peace isn't going to come by good feelings. You won't get true peace through drugs or through alcohol. Peace comes, according to God, it comes from knowing that God is in control, that God is at hand. Believers are given God. You're in Christ. And you have this inner, quiet stillness of peace that comes from God. It is of God, and it comes through a daily walk with Him. There's something really important about the peace of God here that you need to hear. So, and Paul recognizes it with this phrase, which surpasses all understanding. You see, there's a little bit of a challenge when it comes to writing this or to me trying to explain it. because we can use a whole lot of words to try to explain the peace of God. You can go to a dictionary and get a dictionary definition of peace and the peace of God, and you're like, oh, okay, that's what a definition is of the peace of God, and you can read about it, but you'll never really know it. You won't really experience it, and there's a shortcoming in words that describes God's peace. That's something that you can only experience. It transcends human knowledge, and that's why Paul says, which surpasses all understanding. I can't explain it all to you. You're just going to have to experience it. And for all of you who are in Christ, that have experienced the storms of life and you've felt that peace, you've gone through and you're just like, we're going to make it. I'm going to make it. And if I don't, I get Jesus. But there's this peace, there's this quiet, there's this calm. That's the peace of God. Words can't describe it. You have to experience it, and it comes, and it's a promise that he promises to give. That the peace of God is for you. So again, just let's be real clear. How do you get that peace? First of all, it's found only in Christ Jesus. It's found through Christ. Trust him as your Savior. Peace is found for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's available for you who are in Christ. Isaiah 48:22 says, the Lord says, there is no peace for the wicked. It's going to be found in Christ Jesus. Secondly, God's peace is going to be attained. You're going to get and be able to take the peace of God by practice. It's an ongoing, right? He said that in verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It's a daily practice. It's a daily practice of taking your small worries and giving them to the Lord. You're trusting in him so that when the big problems come, you're in a habit of turning to him and trusting in him. Tell him your needs and talk to him. That's this verse 6. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You can have peace that comes through prayer and turning to Christ. When you turn to him, the peace is available for you. But it takes change. It's something that has to be empowered by the Spirit of God. You can't just wish it. You can't just hope it. You can't just try to squeeze it out somehow. It's empowered by the Spirit of God as you entrust yourself to him. As you turn to him, as you wait on him, as you call out to him, and just like the disciples did in the middle of the sea. So as much as worry is going to be relentless at coming and crashing in on you, is just as much, if not more, that you need to pray. So if you're constantly in worry, if that's just, that's you, you're like, man, I'm just constantly in worry. Then again, I come back to this. This peace is for you. The peace of God is yours for the taking. And will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You need to take a serious look at your heart. It's not enough just to take a glance. It's not enough just to look in the mirror. You're like, okay, and out you go. You got to do some serious heart work. Let the Spirit of God do a full scan. Do you believe that God is enough for you, for your issues? Is God big enough to deal with your sins? Is God big enough for the fact that he's in control? Have you given over the control of your heart? Have you given over the control to Him for your heart and your mind? It's been a number of years since I had come across this poem called The Road to Life, and I thought it summed up beautifully this trusting in Him. Listen to this. At first, I saw God as my observer, my judge, keeping track of the things I did wrong, so as to know whether I merited heaven or hell when I die. He was out there sort of like a president. I recognized this picture when I saw it, but I really didn't know Him. But later on, when I met Christ, it seemed as though life were rather like a bike ride, but it was a tandem bike, and I noticed that Christ was in the back helping me pedal. I don't know just when it was that He suggested we change places, but life has not been the same since. When I had control, I knew the way. It was rather boring, but predictable. It was the shortest distance between two points. But when He took the lead, He knew delightful long cuts up mountains and through rocky places at breakneck speeds. It was all I can do to hang on. Even though it looked like madness, He said, "Pedal." I worried and was anxious and asked, "Where are you taking me?" He laughed and didn't answer, and I started to learn to trust. I forgot my boring life, and I entered into the adventure. And when I'd say, "I'm scared," He'd lean back and touch my hand. He took me to people with gifts that I needed, gifts of healing, acceptance, and joy. They gave me gifts to take on my journey, my Lord's and mine. And we were off again. And He said, "Give the gifts away, they're extra baggage, too much weight." So I did, to the people we met. And I found that in giving I received, and still our burden was light. And I did not trust Him at first in control of my life. I thought He'd wreck it. But He knows bike secrets. He knows how to make it bend to take sharp corners. He knows how to jump to clear high rocks. He knows how to fly to shorten scary passages. And I'm learning to shut up and pedal in the strangest places. And I'm beginning to enjoy the view and the cool breeze on my face with my delightful, constant companion, Jesus Christ. And I'm sure when I'm just can't take any more, He just smiles and says, "Pedal." Is that great? I don't know where Jesus is for you. Maybe He's on the bike and maybe you're happy to be in the front. Maybe it's time to switch seats. Jesus may not even be anywhere near you. The Lord is at hand. Call out to Him. Let Him in. He will no way cast you aside. And I know there's a whole lot of things going on in your life. You're struggling with some deep stuff that maybe nobody else knows, but God knows and He cares. Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. It may be time for you to allow Him in. Why don't you try calling out to Him? For others of you, maybe you just need to be reminded to pedal. Don't quit. Allow Him to take you and to lead you to those and through those scary places. But the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If this is where you've been, Allow the Spirit of God to do some heart work in you. Don't leave here without addressing it with Him. If you need to talk with somebody, anybody sitting next to you may be willing to do that. But we have an elder and a wife that are in the prayer room just right down the hall here. In fact, today it's Angela and I who are going to be there. We would love to pray with you. We'd love to help answer any questions. It's an opportunity that we want to invite you to come there. Or maybe it's something you need to deal with before Him. But this place of constant worry is not where God wants you to land. Next week, we'll deal with the day in, day out stuff. But right now, why don't you deal with this, with the heart thing now? The peace of God is yours for the taking, regardless of the storm around you.